This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. West Michigan Congressman Fred Upton has been serving some part of Southwest Michigan since he was first elected to the House in 1986. The Republican representative is now chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. He's seeking his 15th term in the House. Fred Upton, thank you very much for being here.
Good to be here with you, Gordon. Thank you.
Briefly tell us and the audience what you would like to do with another 2 years in the House if you were to get them.
Well, there's a lot of things. I don't know that I can be brief, but I'll try to be very brief. I'm excited about this election November 4th, and I'm excited with what most of the pundits say is going to happen and then the agenda for next year. There's no question that all of us are really frustrated with the dysfunction that's been there, the partisan wrangling. I've never been part of that, but it's been nasty. And if you talk to listen to any of the commentators, there's a pretty good sense that, in fact, Republicans will pick up maybe as much as a dozen seats, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, but it's going to be pretty close to that. In the Senate, again, most observers think that the Senate's going to flip. And from the House perspective, that has really been the problem child, I guess you could say. In the House, we passed 384 bills or more that the Senate hasn't taken up. And you know, as we look to next year, if in fact the Republicans do control both houses, we have got to have a very positive agenda. And certainly that's been my philosophy ever since I got to the Congress, of working with both sides to get things done.
I should note that we are speaking on Friday, the day after the House subcommittee hearing on Ebola, which you were a big part of. You, in that hearing, said that there should be a travel ban on anybody coming from West Africa to the United States. The counterargument is that there is a danger in sort of driving it underground, that people are less willing to reveal that they perhaps have symptoms, or they go through a couple different stops and try to hide their travel itinerary before getting to the United States.
Well, the travel ban means that those people from West Africa are not going to be approved for a visa coming to this country. 150 a day, 1,000 a week, just about. The administration admits that there's not 100% screening for all those folks that are coming here. And last time I traveled overseas, I have a U.S. passport. And as I'm in that passport line going through Dulles or whatever entry point it is, Chicago, there's lines for U.S. citizens and for folks that hold a passport from other countries. And whether it's Liberia or Germany or France or whatever, there is a document indicating where that individual is from. Generally, even when you go to Canada, they stamp your passport and say that you've been here. It's pretty easy for a customs officer to determine where you've been. And I think we, like other countries have done, not only in that region, but even Jamaica has said, for the time being, until the issue is resolved over there, we're not going to allow visa entries for non-U.S. citizens into the United States. Yes, we have to fight this. Yes, it is a worldwide issue. And the predictions from our own administration is that there could be perhaps as a million people in that region impacted by this awful disease by early next year. We know that the death rate is about 70%. And we know that there's no vaccine, there's no cure, they're working around the clock. FDA confirmed yesterday that they're doing very fast approvals on virtually anything that's thrown their way to try and get the job done. But you know what? It's not done. And in the meantime, we know that we have only four facilities in this country that are capable of treating folks with Ebola. Maybe a dozen beds altogether, when you count those four together. And this system with Mr. Duncan, who died tragically, bad protocols, he lied, lots of mishaps. But, you know, Dallas is talking about a disaster declaration for Dallas County. The hospital there, they're not getting people to show up for work. And we cannot afford to have this escalate. And if you want to really be concerned about the health of the American people in the short term, we should just do what a number of other countries have said and say, no, we're not going to approve any visas here. It takes 21 days for someone to fully show the symptoms of this awful disease. So you easily could have somebody at day 12 or 14 who comes, exhibits no temperature, allowed to come in. yes, they give them a sheet. Okay, if you get these symptoms, please call us. Please go to the center. Well, where did they go in between? How many people might have they impacted by then? I mean, all of a sudden you have this trail, and it could be quite alarming. So I'm convinced, and based on yesterday, on this week's hearing yesterday as we tape this, that there is strong support to stop visa entry from those three countries into the U.S. There's some chatter, some talk about even the House. I think there's been a bill now introduced. I think it would pass in the House on a bipartisan basis, maybe as much as 3 or 4 to 1.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with West Michigan Congressman Fred Upton, who is seeking his 15th term in the U.S. House. He is also the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. Let's go to healthcare for a moment. You have consistently said that you wanted to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. You have said pretty consistently that you do like some things, including the provision that says insurance companies cannot deny coverage for a pre-existing condition.
Right.
How do you do both of those? How do you say to insurance companies you can't deny coverage and yet not have something like a mandate or a single payer system in order to keep people from sort of going around the system?
A number of states have initiated what we call high-risk pools. So it was, if you look back at the whole healthcare issue, I mean, Ezekiel Emanuel is quoted in the New York Times saying that their goal was to eliminate private employer-based insurance by 2020, and they are well on the road to do that. Now, I have always stood for healthcare reform. There were a number of things that were broken, needed to be fixed. Among them, the ability of insurance companies, which I felt is wrong, to discriminate against those with a pre-existing illness. You can fix that by encouraging states to have what we call high-risk pools so that folks who are trying to get insurance, maybe they have, you know, name the disease, you can have those high-risk pools that the states help subsidize, and so does the federal government. And that is a far cheaper way than just to abandon the whole private sector, employer-based health insurance, which is being dismantled limb by limb. Last week, Walmart announced that they were going to cancel insurance for 30,000 Walmart employees. We tried to change the number of hours, 30 versus 40, and we actually passed that in the House earlier this year. Can't get the Senate to do it. What happened with the health insurance plan with Obamacare, as he calls it himself, you ended up with a very partisan bill. Not a single Republican, House or Senate, voted for it. A number of Democrats voted against it as well. That's not how we ought to be doing business in Washington. It ought to be bipartisan, particularly with something as important as health care. You could have done pre-existing conditions. You could have done certainly students, children under 25 or 26 years old. You could have allowed more competition in the workplace by allowing people to shop across state lines like you can for other insurance, auto and car. Tort reform, big reason why costs are going up. Even the president supported tort reform, yet we weren't able to get that amendment. Remember, when this bill came to the House floor, Speaker Pelosi allowed not a single Republican amendment on the floor. So you ended up with a partisan bill. That's not how we ought to do it. And that's not the way that Speaker Boehner has undertaken his speakership.
What would be the aspects of an immigration bill that you would want to see in order to get your vote?
Well, I support immigration reform. I've been on record on this for some time. I was deeply disappointed that we weren't able to do it through the House this year. That's one of the shining stars that the Senate gets, although there was a comprehensive single bill, 1,000-some pages, versus what I think would be a number of bills that accomplish much of the same, but border security is part of that. We do have to have a way for the folks that are undocumented here, a pathway to legal status is what I call it. We want to make sure that they've got no felony convictions, that their back taxes are paid, maybe a small administrative fine. We want to know where they are, what are they doing. if they want to become a citizen, this is not amnesty. They go to the end of the line. They learn English, civics, all the things that doesn't change. And we know traditionally only about 40% of the folks that are here without documentation want to become citizens. That number probably stays about the same. But, you know, I want people, you know, when I'm driving on the road, I want someone to come in the other way to have a driver's license, to have insurance. I commend our local law enforcement folks, Sheriff Fuller and the police chief here in Kalamazoo. I met with, I don't know, 400 or 500 people perhaps a year or two ago with the Hispanic Center here in Kalamazoo. And they both spoke and they said, you know what, we just want you to know, we know that many of you here are undocumented, we just know that. We want you to know that when a crime is committed on maybe your person or your home where you are, that we want you to report that crime to us because we want to catch that individual. We want to prosecute them, and we want to make sure that they serve a sentence if they're convicted. And we are not going to ask you your legal status if you report that crime, because if pick the crime, armed robbery, whatever it is, they'll probably continue to do it until they get caught. Well, we need people to come forward and say it was this person that did that. So I commend them, the local law enforcement, for what they do. But we also know that many of these folks, we have to deal with what's called the dreamers. You know, we actually had a case that we dealt with a young woman who came to this country, she was rescued from the sex trafficking in China. China has a policy, actually, they don't allow anybody out. If you get out of there, they don't allow you to come back. So thank goodness she was rescued. She was adopted, in essence, by a West Michigan family, but not formally adopted. She graduated, I want to say, with honors from Western, and she started looking for a job, and she found out she didn't know she wasn't an American citizen. Well, she's been here, 12, 14 years. You're not going to send her back. we need to figure this out. And that's why we're a better country than that. And that's why we have to figure out how to deal with the folks that are here illegally, without papers, figure out, and, estimates are as many as 11 million. I'm not for sending them all home to figure this out. I mean, let's send the word out now. Let's figure out a way that they can have some access to not... being in real trouble. Not that they aren't already.
A couple minutes left. Let's deal with politics. You are coming off an election 2 years ago where you were held to your lowest percentage total since you've been running, and there's a super PAC pumping a lot of money into this race. Is there reason to believe that this race could be maybe the most competitive you've ever been in?
Well, a couple things, Gordon. With every election, you get butterflies, okay? When you don't, then maybe you shouldn't be running. So there's really two ways to run. You either run unopposed or full speed ahead. 2 years ago, we had a little drag on our ticket called Mitt Romney, all right? Mitt Romney won our district narrowly. I won. I have always run ahead of our state and national ticket, as I did in 2012. I won by double digits. We had a good competitor then, Mike O'Brien, veteran, no scourge of the earth. I mean, he was a decent guy, a nice family. Anyway, fast forward to 2014. We have a different guy at the top of the ticket. His name's Rick Snyder, all right? Rick Snyder is going to win our district by more than 1 point. I think he's going to win maybe by 6 or 8 points. He's going to win the state. He's going to win re-election, too, for all the right reasons. I'm running ahead of Governor Snyder. We don't have any qualms about that. We have a good campaign that's out there. No, we didn't expect to see $1.5 million super PAC come in the last 2 weeks against us. They're spending a ton of money. It's all negative. This is why people get upset about negative campaigns, because, they are negative. Our message is positive. We're talking about 21st century cures, all the good things that I'm doing. I've been bipartisan from day one in the Congress. When I was elected in the Congress, for my lifetime, Republicans were never in the majority. And I said, if I want to get something done, I got to work with the D's. And I did.
Fred Upton, thank you for your time.
You bet.
West Michigan Congressman Fred Upton has been representing part of Southwest Michigan since he was first elected in 1986. He's now seeking his 15th term in the House. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.